From pointy boots to hose to doublet, cloak and hat with a feather in it, Lord Hong knew he was a perfect Ankh Morpork gentleman. The cloak was lined with silk. The clothes felt uncomfortable and touched him in unfamiliar ways, but those were minor details. This was how a man looked in a society that breathed, that moved, that could go somewhere. He'd walk through the city on that first great day, and the people would be silent when they saw their natural leader. It never crossed his mind that anyone would say, "Yeah, what a tough. Heave half a brick at him." The ants scurried. The thing that went parp went parp. The wizards stood back. There wasn't much else to do when Hex was working at full speed, except watch the fish and oil the wheels from time to time. There were occasional flashes of octarine from the tubes. Hex was spelling several hundred times a minute. It was as simple as that. It would take a human more than an hour to do an ordinary finding spell, but Hex could do them faster, over and over again. It was netting the whole occult sea in the search of one slippery fish. It achieved, after 93 minutes, what would otherwise have taken the faculty several months.
"You see,"
said Ponder, his voice shaking a little as he took the line of blocks out of the hopper.
"I said he could do it."
"Who's he?" said Ridcully.
"Hex."
"Oh, you mean it?"
"That's what I said, sir. Yes.
Another thing about the Horde, Mr. Savaloy had noticed, was their ability to relax. The old men had the cat-like ability to do nothing when there was nothing to do. They'd sharpened their swords, they'd had a meal, big lumps of meat for most of them, and some kind of gruel for Mad Hamish, who dribbled most of it down his beard, and assured its wholesomeness by dragging the cook in, nailing him to the floor by his apron, and suspending a large axe on a rope that crossed a beam in the roof and was held at the other end by Cohen while he ate. Then they'd sharpened their swords again, out of habit, and stopped. Occasionally, one of them would whistle a snatch of a tune through what remained of his teeth, or search a bodily crevice for a particularly fretful louse. Mainly, though, they just sat and stared at nothing. After a long while, Caleb said, "You know, I've never been to XXXX. Been everywhere else. Often wondered what it's like."
"Got shipwrecked there once," said Vincent. "Weird place. Lousy with magic. There's beavers with beaks and giant rats with long tails that hops around the place and boxes with one another. Black fellas wandering round all over the place. They say they're in a dream. Bright, though. Show 'em a bit of desert with one dead tree in it. Next minute they've found a three-course meal with fruits and nuts to follow. Beer's good, too."
"Sounds like it."
There was another long pause. Then,
"I suppose they've got minstrels here. Be a bit of a bloody waste, wouldn't it, if we all got killed and no one made up any songs about it? Bound to have loads of minstrels, a city like this." "No problem there, then."
"No.
No."
There was another lengthy pause.
"Not that we're going to get killed."
"Right. I don't intend to start getting killed at my time of life."
Another pause.
"Cohen?"
"Yep."
"You a religious man at all?"
"Well, I've robbed lots of temples and killed a few mad priests in my time. Don't know if that counts."
"What do your tribe believe happens to you when you die in battle?"
"Oh, these big fat women in horned helmets take you off to the halls of Io, where there is fighting and carousing and quaffing forever."
Another pause.
"You mean, like, really forever?"
"Suppose so."
"'Cause generally you get fed up even with turkey by about day four."
"All right. What do you lot believe?"
"I think we go off to hell in a boat made of toenail clippings." "Something like that, anyway."
Another long pause.
"But it's not worth talking about, because we're not going to get killed today."
"You said it."
"It's not worth dying if all you've got to look forward to is leftover meat and floating around in a boat smelling of your socks, is it, eh?"
Another pause.
Down in Clatch, they believe if you lead a good life, you're rewarded by being sent to a paradise with lots of young women.
That's your reward, is it?
Dunno. Maybe it's their punishment. But I do remember you eat sherbet all day.
Oh, when I was a lad, we had proper sherbet in them little tube things and a licorice straw to suck it up with. You don't get that sort of thing today. People are too busy rushing about.
Sounds a lot better than quaffing toenails, though.
Another pause.
Did you ever believe that business about every enemy you killed becoming your servant in the next world?
Dunno.
How many you killed?
What? Oh, maybe 2,000-3,000, not counting dwarfs and trolls, of course.
Definitely not going to be short of a hairbrush or someone to open doors for you after you're dead, then.
A pause.
We're definitely not going to die, right?
Right.
I mean, odds of 100,000 to 1. Huh. Difference is just a lot of zeros, right?
Right.
I mean, stout comrades at our side, a strong right arm. What more could we want?
Pause.
A volcano would be favourite.
Pause.
We're going to die, aren't we?
Yep.
End of CD 7.